Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast, where we bring together the best medical minds, thought leaders, scientists, patients, and caregivers to inform and inspire the spondylitis community. I'm your host, Jill Miller, living my best spa life, knowing that how we meet today has the power to change everything going forward. Please note that the information provided in this podcast should not be considered medical advice. We do encourage all listeners to consult their healthcare professionals for medical concerns. Thank you for listening, and we hope you find our discussion today enlightening. Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast. Today, our guest is Dr. Gaetan Chevalier, who received his PhD in 1988 from the University of Montreal in engineering physics with specialties in atomic physics, plasma physics, and laser spectroscopy. After 4 years of research at UCLA in the fields of nuclear fusion and plasma physics, he became professor and director of research at the California Institute for Human Science for many years, doing research on human physiology and electrophysiology. Dr. Chevalier is currently research faculty at CIHS, and he has been director of the Earthing Institute since its foundation in 2007. Dr. Chevalier, welcome to SpondyCast. How are you today?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing very good. I'm looking forward to answering your questions.
Excellent. Today we're going to talk about grounding and its benefits, particularly around inflammation and for people with spondylitis and other diseases. Tell us a little bit about yourself. And my curiosity is, how did you go from physics to humans?
Yes. As my bio that you said in my short bio, I was doing research in first in nuclear physics. That's where actually what brought me. I was doing nuclear physics as a postdoc in Canada, and then I got a position at UCLA in the same field. Then I changed a little bit into, still plasma physics. But what happened is that I also always been interested in spirituality. And so I've been doing yoga and be interested in different spiritual groups for years. And it just happened that when I was in Los Angeles, one of those groups had a magazine called Share International. And there was an article about a Shinto priest who was also a parapsychologist and doing research in electrophysiology. And he was doing research in Japan on the meridian system and even tried to get some instruments to measure the effects of chakras, or if they exist or not. So it was fascinating what he was doing with a dark room and with very precise instruments that were actually developed by him. And so I read the article and I just wrote to Japan. An address at the Tamamitsu Jinja was the name of the temple there. And it was the Society for Religious Psychology. So I just write them, knowing nothing. And then I got a letter from one of Dr. Mutuyama's associates saying that Dr. Mutuyama will be speaking in a yoga studio in Santa Monica, which was like very close to where I live. So I went there, I met him. I listened to his presentation, and at the end of this presentation, I went to see him. He said, "I'm fascinated by what you're doing. Would you, is there anything I can do?" I was thinking, like, doing something partial, like a hobby or something. And he said, he looked at me, he said, "I'm starting a school in San Diego. And I need somebody who has taught electricity and magnetism," which is interestingly was the only class I taught when I was a graduate student, was electricity and magnetism for engineers at the beginning level. So I said, yes. And so he said, well, I can you come and teach on Saturdays? So I said yes. So I came and start teaching part-time, driving 2 hours to get from Los Angeles to San Diego. And so after about teaching there part-time for almost a year, then he offered me a full-time position in his school, which was interesting because it's called the California Institute for Human Science. It's not human sciences, it's human science. And it's a Japanese concept of integration of all the science to better understand the human being, which I thought was a very interesting concept. It was an opportunity for me to integrate my physics with human beings and learning more about, certain aspects of human beings, especially related to electrophysiology. So that was a big decision I had to make, because he was for me a full-time position in a field that in 1993 was not very well accepted and was more like seen like woo-woo science and stuff. But right. it was fascinating to me. So I decided that it was my path that I want to go. And so I moved to the California Institute for Human Science. And I become professor there and director of the laboratory. And by the way, that's where I met Clint Ober. And that's where my study about earthing grounding started.
So I have a particular interest in industrial vibration. And I had spent some time working for a company that made it possible to see vibration of rotating assets or motors and pumps and gearboxes, but made it possible to see that visually through motion mm-hmm. amplification. So my brain is popping off on this topic a little bit. But when you talk about electricity and magnetism, right, and correct me if I'm wrong, because we'll get into this around earthing. But when you talk about where you were at, having taught electricity and magnetism, right, those are kind of a changing field of electricity that becomes magnetic. And I'm going to leap here, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. But right, that becomes magnetic, and then electric fields move in different directions, right? Is that kind of the jump to humans and how that?
Not exactly. First, I want to say I think I can simplify that for you. So an electric field, a magnetic field, we know what it is. It's like, coming out from a magnet. Electric fields are generated, when you walk briskly on a carpet and your hair starts sitting up like that, it's because you build up charge and you have an electric field. So why is electric field and magnetic field related is very simple. If you have an electric field that is varied in intensity, in space, or orientation, this variation creates automatically a magnetic field. And vice versa, if you have a magnetic field, if you take a magnet and you move it in space, this movement will generate electric fields around this. That's how generators are made. They are made with magnets moving. And the magnets moving can generate electric field that can generate actually power.
Got it.
So that is general. That is, a basic physics concept. Now, if we go to life and humans in particular, then we have electric field and magnetic field inside of us. Why? Because we have electric charge. See, an electric field is always created first by... Well, not always, because it can be created by a varying magnetic field. But most magnetic fields are actually created by electric charge motion. So if we're going back to the basics of what an atom is, there are two types of electric charge on an atom, positive and negative. The nucleus is made of proton, which has positive charge, and outside circulate electrons, which are much smaller, much lighter, and they are negative, has a negative charge, is exactly opposite to the positive charge of proton. So this is what makes, you know, and normally an atom has enough, the same amount of proton than electron. And so from the outside, it's neutral. So that's why I can touch a piece of paper now, you see, and it doesn't stick to me because all the atoms inside have enough electrons to be neutral. But what happens is if I remove some electrons, then the atom become electrically positively charged, and then there's an electric field around it. Now, if I move this atom, you know, in space, because I'm moving the electric field, it's going to create a magnetic field. And that's all, for example, electromagnetic fields are that. Are feel like, for example, we have electricity flowing in our homes, right? In reality, it flows in wire made generally of copper. And they followed, why is it called 60 hertz? Because they move back and forth 60 times per second. Well, this movement of electric charge create a movement of electric field, which create a magnetic field. So that means that we are always baited in an environment where we have electromagnetic field at 60 hertz pouncing on us. And we can measure it. We can measure how much electric, you know, using a simple voltmeter or multimeter, we can measure the charge, you know, that it's not electric charge, but the voltage that actually, voltage is a measure of how much electric field there is. Okay. We can measure that on the surface of the skin, and it's easy. And when we ground a person, we got that, this electric field is canceled. And so the person does not have that. Because this electric field, of course, interfere with our physiology, because we, more and more research shows that we are bioelectric beings. That means the electricity and the, like the nerve, the autonomic nervous system, and all of this stuff controls most of our body functions, even biochemistry now. There's 10 years ago about, there's been a discovery showing that the vagus nerve, the biggest nerve in the body, that actually control the autonomic nervous function, like the heart beating and the digestions and stuff like that, also has a big control over the immune system and even the hormonal system. So your emotion is affecting your hormonal system through the vagus nerve. So it's a very interesting, I think. I'm really finding new things all the time. It's amazing about how sophisticated the body is.
It's crazy, amazing, I think. Yeah. Okay, so let's come back to earthing or grounding.
Yes.
What is it and how does it work?
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about it, but this is...
Let's get to the basics.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's very simple. It's being in physical contact with the earth. So I mean your body touching the earth directly or touching the earth through a system that is actually made of conducting material, okay, that also ground you. And what is the benefits? Why grounding does something is because we get, when we ground ourselves, we put ourselves in contact with the earth. In reality, what we do is we touching the negative pole of a gigantic battery. You know that a 9-volt battery has a positive and a negative pole, and then you plug things in it, and then you know, the like a flashlight will light lit up because there's a resistance and the current flows. Well, the same thing with the Earth. The Earth has a negative pole, which is the surface of the Earth, and a positive pole, which is 60 miles or 100 kilometers up in the atmosphere. It's called the ionosphere. And it's called the ionosphere because it's full of ions. And ions are molecules that are not the correct number or the equal number of protons and electrons. Okay? So what happens is that, and all of this system that maintains the electric charge of the planet, or it's like, you know, a rechargeable battery. So all of this is replenished, the energy of it is replenished by the sun. The sun rays, the sun give life to all of us. It's amazing. And the way it works is that the UV, you know, you've learned that the UV lights, the bad rays, are stopped by the atmosphere. And thank God we have the UVA still coming, you know, the lower end of the UV coming through, but the really dangerous ones don't come to us. But what happened? Where'd they go? What happens is that the energy is absorbed by the atmosphere, and the molecules, the energy is so strong that it split the molecules into a positive one and a negative one. Because you can have a molecule that lack electrons and become positively charged. Or you can have a molecule that are too many electrons and become negatively charged. So you have all these charge there in the ionosphere. And then what happened is that the clouding, the weather system, also the high clouds, they touch the ionosphere and they get discharged into themselves. And there's a very complex process that happened in the clouds. It's called charged separation. So with the movements of all the particles inside the cloud, the negative particles are pushed down the cloud, and then positive ones are pushed up. And this is getting recharged and charged. This side, and at some point, the voltage between the lower part of the cloud and the surface is so grand, so big, could be like 5 million volts, that you get the lightning. And that lightning is made of what? Electrons coming into the Earth, and they recharge the surface of the Earth of electrons. There's about, what, 1,000 lightning happening per minute on the planet.
Really?
And most of them happen around, South America and in Africa. These are like where the batteries get recharged. But, I mean, any thunderstorm, even here in Florida, we have quite a bit, and in any other places, they also help recharge the Earth's battery. The scientists have calculated that if all thunderstorm activity stop, it would take less than an hour for the Earth to completely lose its charge. So it's a continuous process that have been going on for millions and millions and millions of years.
Wow. So what if somebody's going to do grounding?
Yes.
I could talk to you for hours, by the way. Maybe days.
We can come back later and do that.
So somebody says, I want to do grounding or earthing. What would they do?
Yes. Well, I would say, look at your environment. Where do you live? If you live like me in San Diego, well, go to the beach every day for an hour, because the ocean is charged negatively, and it's one of the best way to get grounded. If you don't have that, walk in the park about an hour a day, every day. But or if you have a garden and you do gardening every day, do it barefoot so that you're in contact. But in any way, the plants that you're touching are also grounded. So even if you don't do it barefoot, if you do gardening, you get a lot of grounding. But let's say you're like me, you grew up in Canada, you have long months where the temperature is around minus 10, minus 20 or something, and it's slow all over what you do. So that's where, you know, you need some products that are created to help you to be grounded. And the company have been doing mats, wristbands, patches, blankets, sheets, all kind of things so that you can get grounded. And what it is basically is that these are artificial way. These are made of conducting material. There's a wire that goes and get into the ground in some way. So there's two ways you can do it. You can plant a rod outside and connect your product to that.
Okay.
Or the second method is that modern houses have a grounding system. The old houses did not. If you go back 60, 50 years ago, all the outlets has only two slots in North America. There was no third hole. The third hole is a ground. So you can use it after testing that it's working properly. And I emphasize that it's important to test that it works properly, because some places and more than once, there's miswiring where the neutral wire can be connected to the ground wire. So you don't want that. But the grounding system has a very good grounding system in general, because it has several grounding rods inside the cement, you know, of the building deep in the ground. And the most recent one have a system with one ground rod that is 20 feet long. And so it's a very good grounding system. The only thing is you want to make sure that it works properly. And some companies send you a little gadget that you can plug in and tell you that you have a good ground. But to make sure, you also need to make sure that there's no voltage on the ground wire. So once you check that and you're sure, then you can use it. For me, where I've been doing that for at least 15 years using the outlet, like I'm speaking to you right now, and I use a grounding mat as my mouse so that my hands are always grounded. And I have another grounding mat on my feet so that I get grounded. I sleep grounded every night. I have a grounding mat that is the size of my bed, and I put a little sheet of cotton on top of it. But the cotton is not grounded, but when we are in the bed, we perspire a little bit, and in 5 minutes, I'm grounded. Some people have sheets that have silver threads in them that they are grounded. I use them, but they don't last very long, you know, for me. So
yeah.
I prefer this system. But, you know, there's all kinds of products out there. And it's just replacement. Some people said, oh, the companies are greedy and stuff like that. But it's just to help you when you can't go outside. You know, I'm a very busy person, and I can ground. You see, I'm glad that I have my computer. I have my mat, because I found out that when I'm grounded at my computer, I'm much less tired. I can work longer. I can have more energy. Then when I sleep grounded, I don't have to worry about it. You know, I get at least an hour a day. Most LT people need about an hour a day. But if you have certain conditions like spondylitis, then you have to be more careful. Because can we talk about that?
I think this is yeah. Because I think, well, there's extra care for people, and then, like, how does earthing and grounding work toward reducing inflammation?
Yes, and that's where we get in, is that one of the major thing is that earthing reduce inflammation. But when you have inflammation, when you're not grounded for many years, you have inflammation that has been building up in the body for many, many, many years. And so the body is trying to cope with the fact that it's not touching the earth and is lacking electrons. It's very difficult to get all the electrons that you need just from the food. And it's even more difficult now that the food is processed and has lost its electrons. I mean, if you go like 50, 60 years, the food had much more electrons in them. But if you do it from your garden, then the food that you bring at your table, tomatoes, whatever it is, then they are grounded, so that helps. But it's very difficult. And it's not intended for us to get all our electrons from the food. That's why the intention for the nature is to, get it from contact with the earth.
Okay. So any other things that people with inflammation or people with should be?
So there's something else. If you have inflammation on the body is not working optimally. So that means that with especially the modern life, we're accumulating toxins, toxic substances that are in our food, that are in everything. A healthy body can deal with them and eliminate them, okay, most of them, unless it's a special situation where there's an overload. But let's say that you are in a normal situation and you are take good care of eating good food as much as you can, and you are healthy, your body is able to cope with most of the, toxic substances that we have. But when you're not healthy and you have inflammation, your body is much, the metabolism has slowed down. You notice also that you gain weight. And that is a sign of slowing the metabolism, slowing down, which happens with age. But not necessarily, it's because of our way of life. And at the same time, so then when you start then grounding and you want to, get, the electrons that the body needs, the body is faced with two things. It has to quench inflammation, which it can do with the electron, but it has also to get the toxins out of the body. So if you ground yourself, the body will get more energy and will start try to detox. And if it can do that, if you're grounding a lot and you have lots of inflammation, a lot of people, for example, they want to start sleeping grounded. And they found out, oh my gosh, I can't sleep, or I have tingling, I have all kinds. It's because they have too much inflammation in the body, they have too much toxins, and they need to start slowly, which is the case of a lot of people, actually. Start with an hour a day, and then you can, increase. And there's another thing also about that would probably be of interest, how the body cope with the lack of electron. So first it creates the inflammatory process, which does not exist in nature. It's not necessary. So what happened, let's say that you have an invasion of bacteria, you have a cup and the bacteria invade. And so the body will send the immune cells there to kill the bacteria. And what they do to kill the bacteria, they use acids, they pour acid on the bacteria that are coming in, or they engulf them with their acid also. So basically it makes a region very acidic. And after that, the bacteria are dead, this has to be neutralized, So that's when the body should send the electrons, if it has them. But if it doesn't have them, what happened? Oh, we have this region of high density of positive charge, and it's starting to break down the good cells around there. So what the body does, sends a lot of fluid. That's why you have, when you have inflammation, it's growing up. There's a lot of fluid that is sent there, try to dilute the charge. And if that's not enough, there's something called a barricade. It will block the region. A physiologist, Anne Cellier, has shown, I've done a lot of dissection and shown of these barricades that the body does. But let's say that the inflammation is so bad that it threatens to, one of the vital organs. So the body now says, wow, we're going to die if we don't do something. We need to get electrons no matter what. So what the body does, what is the place where it gets electrons and can survive, but of course it has some bad effects, but at least the body survive. It's in the bones. It's in the bones. So it started taking electrons that bound calcium to the bones. And so what you have, so you have those electrons now that flow and get this, check this inflammation, but all this calcium now flows in your body and get deposited everywhere. You have arthritis and you have, you know, all of this calcium that is goes everywhere. And also the bones become brittle. You have osteoporosis. And I think that spondylitis is a bit of a way for the body to get some extra electrons to keep itself, you know. Everybody's different. So the body is deciding how it's going to do things, you know.
Yeah, well, this is interesting, right? It's this is fascinating, by the way. because if we're pulling the electrons out of the bone, this is what might cause the inflammation and the fusion.
Well, the fusion, the inflammation is the primary cause.
Right.
And then to get rid of the inflammation or to keep the inflammation in check, the body needs electrons. It's going to have to get them somewhere. Right. I mean, if it's threatened like the heart or the liver, and you're going to die if it's not functioning, it's going to do everything it can to survive. And if you lose, like your hips become fragile, or your legs and stuff, maybe you have difficulty walking, but at least you're alive. You see?
Okay. So I know you mentioned that back when you started, people thought some of this was woo woo. But now there's research, right?
On the website, there's now at least 40 research projects. And another criticism was that most of the projects were done by me. Well, that was true at the beginning because we have to start somewhere. But then we have lots of interest now, and there's like 20 researchers who've done research on earthing and published. And our website, one thing that we're trying to do is to keep all the information, all the research done on earthing into our research page. So now there's about 14 of them. So, and people say, oh, they are all small projects. Well, you know, do a project with a thousand subjects is very expensive. So the biggest project has 71 subjects. It was done by a doctor, I think, in Iran. And it was done on people with COVID, of all things, which was very interesting. Very interesting results, yeah.
And did they were the results positive?
Yeah, the results were positive. The people were helped. The people were, you can read the paper but it was helpful. We do have also a testimonial of people with long COVID. Improved when they started earthing.
And you had talked a little bit about also testimonials from people with spondylitis or spondyloarthritis.
Yes. So
what are the primary benefits they see?
Less pain, more energy, and better sleep. And I'm not saying that it's the same for everybody, you know, and also some people have, it happened relatively quickly. Some other, it takes months. They don't find anything. And then after months it start, but they keep doing it, you know, because they get encouraged. We have a website, we have a website, but we also have a Facebook page called Earthing Insiders. And one of their goal of this page is for people who are new or are not certain or are in a condition that is it working for me or not because of my condition, they can go there and talk to people that have had similar conditions. There's more than 9,000 people there. So you will have somebody there that said, yep, I know what happened to me. And so it's a supporting, you know, group. People to not despair, get going, don't stop, you know, even if it's only an hour. In the earthing book, there's a lady, 82, I think, years old, who had a sore on one of her ankle that would not heal. And she, and so she heard about her thing and she said, no, I don't want to do it at home. I want my doctor to do it. And the doctor was doing it only 3 times a week for an hour. And her wounds start healing. So that means that any, you know, it needs continuity, but, you know, any grounding that you do will have its benefit.
Interesting. You know, I just made the connection. So many, 10 years ago, 9 years ago, after I was diagnosed, I wasn't responding to the medications and the biologics. And my doctor said, I think you should see an Ayurvedic practitioner.
That's an open doctor. Wow, nice.
Yeah, it was. And she was fantastic. And we had the Ayurvedic practitioner on a couple of times. But I just made the connection that one of the things she used to do for me, I would do the Ayurvedic stuff with her, along with physical therapy, and then when I would get in for physical therapy, every time she had me lay on the Beamer mat.
Oh, Beamer, yes. I want to see. Can I say something about that?
Yeah, sure. But it was interesting because I never realized that was grounding. Yeah.
Okay. No, it's not grounding. But okay. I'm going to tell you what it is. We talk about electric and magnetic field. The Beamer, you know, and all of these PEMF devices, pulse electromagnetic field, that's what they send to you. It's an electromagnetic field similar to what we get from the 60 Hertz. But it's different in that there's one pulse, you know, or very low frequency. The body likes very low frequencies. The natural frequencies of the Earth are all below 30 Hertz. I think that if, it was decided that it would be at 60 Hertz, and I think it's actually decided by Tesla, actually, that it would be 60 Hertz. If it would have done down to 30 Hertz, it would be much, much better to us.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, the pulse magnetic field, there's no electric charge. It's just pulse. And what it does is that it's a magnetic field. It's like a coil or a circle that the current passed through. And because the current changes, it creates a magnetic field. And this magnetic field, because it changes, create inside the body an electric field. And that move charges. So what it does, let's say that you have like arthritis in an elbow, you have an accumulation of charge there. And positive charge. So the PEMF will move those ions so that they will move elsewhere in the body and you will feel relief. So it's helpful, but it does not replace earthing. What I've been able to do is use PEMF device and earthing together. And this is wonderful because the electrons, we get the electrons from earthing. And with PEMF, we get them to move faster in the body. So get distributed in the body. It's a wonderful effect.
Interesting. Well, and that, okay, so that even more goes forward.
Yeah, but yes, PEMF is helpful, but it's completely different. Well, it's not totally completely different, but it doesn't provide electrons like earthing does.
Okay. But it makes sense to Ayurveda because part of Ayurveda is like your energy is still on the move, right?
Yeah, it moves energy.
You want to move it back to where it belongs. Okay, yeah. Fascinating. That is, that's interesting. Can I throw a curveball in?
Go for it.
Does earthing help people in like their meditation practice of like if they're manifesting or if they're trying to practice laws of attraction?
Meditation, we have a research project that I've done myself. We took long-term meditators, people at least have a year of meditating every day. And we were measuring their brain function. with a brain mapping system. And we could see that the brain was more calm, more focused. That this brain mapping system that we have, I'm also director of research at SciTech Labs. That's where we did that research.
Okay.
We found that this system is not only measuring, you know, the energy at each point of the brain, it's also measuring the functionality of the brain. What is the coordination between brain mind? Can you, you know, there's some exercise to connect the dots and do different things so that we can see how well the person is able to focus, be present and things like that. And we found that it improved brain function. Their brain function was better while they were meditating grounded. And we also wanted to know what they've experienced. So they told us, you know, that their meditation was deeper, was easier to get, you know, at a level where they were very calm and things like that. This research project is actually also on our website.
Okay.
It's about meditation, the benefits of meditation. So yes, we've investigated and with other people and investigated a lot of benefits of earthing. So plus with the about 1,000 testimonials we have on the website, I think it's a robust testimony in favor of the benefits of earthing.
Well, for sure. And I think it's sometimes funny to me as we get further in understanding humans and how we interact with our larger ecosystem or planet, how really simple and straightforward many of the solutions become.
Yeah, yes.
It's really, you know, there's she's an economist that I love, but Kate Raworth, and she talks a lot about, right, like we have to, for whenever we're in our environment, we also have to like think contextually to like whatever we do, how does it mimic the natural environment? Yeah. And I think there is a lot to this, and it sometimes surprises me and sometimes it doesn't, but that we make things very complicated because, you know, we were looking for the easy way out. So whether it's our health or it's dinner or whatever it is, by nature, we're looking for the easy way out, but we forget that like we're actually created of these patterns, right? We're created of patterns. And I asked somebody once, I said, well, what does the research show about water and inflammation? And he's like, I don't think there's ever really been a research project done on water. It's like, what?
No, there are.
I know there are. And I've done quite a bit. But I think it's right. It's these simple things. And
And now we're discovering Dr. I'm blanking on his name. He wrote the book, The Fourth Phase of Water. He's discovering amazing properties of water that there is a fourth phase. And I do believe that the water that we have in our body, when we are healthy, is in this fourth phase, which is a kind of a gel.
Yeah.
Dr. Pollack, his name is.
The water has memory and.
Oh, yeah. So there's so many things, you know.
Yeah.
But that's another subject. But I think it relates to the benefit of earthing in some ways, because earthing provides help water in the body to do its job properly.
Right.
Because of this, what happened to this water, to the water in our body, and how it is used by the body into this fourth phase. Is very important to the proper function of the cells. Yeah. And so I think the Gerald Pollack, his name, the work he does is very, very, very important in water. Water is amazing.
Yeah, to me, it's like, it's the first go-to, I think, for healing. Okay, so before, I know we've been all over the map today.
And we haven't touched one-tenth of the subject.
I know.
One more thing I would like to say, but
yeah, no, I want to hear more.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is it that's come to your mind right now?
Well, I just keep thinking about how we, how all of this ties into like our larger presence here in the world, and how we interact with our environments. And frankly, I think a lot, for me, I think a lot going back to like my background in vibration for a period of time was like, how do we maximize some of this, whether it's using earthing to be open to, you know, what else is out there in terms of like people and opportunity. And I always think about when we interact with other humans, like, do we interact on a level of, is it like frequency or vibration? And if someone else is grounded, do you feel more connected to them than you would if they weren't grounded?
Well, I would like to have a comment on that, a more general comment.
Yeah.
Well, I studied, since I have a PhD in engineering physics, I had the opportunity to study quantum physics and relativity. And by myself, also, I went deeper in quantum field theory. So here's what, these are the two basic, most profound theory of modern physics. At the heart of relativity says, you know, famous equation E=mc². It says all matter is energy. That's the bottom line for relativity. Now, if you go to quantum theory, but you go to the most advanced one that is now accepted, it's called quantum field theory. Then everything is made of vibrant fields in vibrations. So everything is vibration. When I say everything is vibration, even the particles themselves are modes of vibrations of fields. Electrons are modes of vibrations, is one mode of vibration of an electronic field that also create other particles. The same thing, a proton is made of quarks. Okay, these quarks themselves are made of vibrations of a quark field. So everything is vibration. Not only because they vibrate, they're made of vibration. So everything has a fundamental vibration. So everything we do is through, even energy. Energy is transmitted through what? Vibrations. So yes, connecting to vibration, everything is vibration. So when you understand that, two things for me. One is that there's no disease that you cannot be cured. It depends what the state of the energy is. Change the state of the energy, you can change everything. So that's, now we're getting close to miracles, you know, and in religion where they say, to me, now we have a scientific explanation. You change the energy, you can change instantaneously the state of the person. It's not gonna take hours. It's gonna be fast because it's a certain mode of vibration that maintain the person in a certain physical condition. So that's why I think vibrational medicine, I read the book, you know, years ago, is on the right track. At some point, I think, you know, the best treatments will be frequency-based, so bioelectricity or whatever, you know, we come up with. Sound also has a healing effect, we know that. So I think it's more than just like now, you know, like complementary medicine, things like that. I think at some point we're going to get that much more mainstream because, you know, we're finding that the model that we're using based, you know, on medicine is very limited and has a lot of secondary effect because it does not address, it does not, you see, when we have symptoms of something, so the medicine is based on treating the symptoms so that they go away. But in Chinese medicine, I've seen a very interesting research project made on people with stomach ulcers. Okay. So for Western medicine, they had one treatment. So that's the same substance, whatever they do. They had about 70% success. For the Chinese medicine, they found for the same problem about 15 different causes. They treated each one differently according to Chinese medicine, 99% reason, healing. So you can't, you know, like having the model where, you know, you do a huge research project on millions of people and it works, you know, on average, there's some improvement by a few percent. Okay. Well, if you average all that and you make that human being that will benefit from that, it's nobody. Nobody has the profile of the average individual of all of these people. So we need to change the way medicine is done. We cannot do medicine, you know, like standardized medicine. You have like cancer of the uterus. This is the treatment, period. It's not gonna. We'll always have poor results with that. There could be 100 causes. And you have also to take into account the mind. Some people, we have work at SciTech Lab on a woman with breast cancer metastasized in the spine. And so we had a machine to measure energy, was very poor. And then, so she changed her diet. She went to see a nutritionist. She was alone and feeling, you know, very lonely. And she was in a house where her parents died, her brother and sister dies in that house. And we found out that it's vibrations again.
Yeah.
It's a research by a Russian that there are some places that energy is bad. Like this house was built on a marsh. And they found out that it was unstable. There's water underneath. So she had to quit that. You see, it's all, you could do any treatment you like. If the energy is bad there, it's not going to work. That's what happened to all of her siblings. Had to get out of there, you know. She improved tremendously. And then she get involved with us. And then she got healing energy. The healing energy is very good, the pranic healing or other energy modalities. There's a lot of research showing that they work and they help people. They provide a certain form of energy that is difficult that these people miss. So you see, it has to be a multimodality that adapt to the situation of the person. Let's say that we have done everything else, but you had stayed to the same place. We would have failed. We would have failed.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm a believer. Like I'm already a believer in energy. So it's. I actually think a lot of people fear their own energy. Like they fear picking back what can happen if you allow your energy to shine as much as it possibly could. That's a personal theory. I have no research to back it up other than the tick marks on the back of a bar napkin.
But the thing is that there are some people like that. The question is how many of, you know, is it a large population percentage? I met some people like that. They do exist. So it's not a fact that these exist or not. It's how many of them, you know, what is the percentage of the population?
Yeah. Like that? Amazing.
It would be interesting research.
It would be interesting research. It might be my next life or my next career. Okay. So on that note, I want to, what else did we miss that we have to cover today?
And then for today, I think we covered quite a bit. For example, lots of things I didn't get into all the details that we know. It's just like when I say the planet is like a battery, there's a way more in the complexity of that. That when I said, I simplify, you know?
Yeah.
We can look, for example, okay, we look at spondylitis, but we can look at arthritis. We can look at different cancer. We can look at so many things, you know? Also, diabetes, you know, autoimmune diseases. So there's so much, but I think we've covered quite a bit of ground for the first time.
For lack of a better pun.
Right.
So people can find your work and at theearthinginstitute.net.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Okay. And there they can get earthing basics, read some more.
Yes. Yes. They can do, like, they can go like, there is, one thing we have not covered that is important is the interaction between earthing and medication.
Yes. Okay. Good
so
one.
That's an important subject. We know, for example, that earthing thin the blood. If you take blood thinners, be aware you need to work with your physician so that it adjusts. Because you can have internal bleeding if it's too thin. So you don't want that. We know also that it affects thyroid medication greatly. So if you take my thyroid medication, and I found out a lot of people take thyroid medication, you have also to work with your physician, you know, closely to adjust medication, because you might have, you know, a medication might actually make you in overdrive and things like that. And anti-inflammatory medication also can interfere. So basically, overall, if you take medication, make sure that you work with your doctor to adjust the medication when you're grounding. Now, some people say, my doctor does not believe in that and listen to that and don't want to hear about that. That happens. But the fact is that you can take responsibility for yourself, saying, I want to be you to check me at this and this, you know, every month, or, you know, you can decide how many. You don't have to tell the doctor if he's not open to it, but at least he's going to adjust your medication so that you don't have, you know, bad reactions.
Right. So because the physicians should have a method for determining if the medication's working.
Yeah, they should. If you have a medication, you don't know if it works or not. That's a bad situation.
Yeah. I agree. I'm just saying, we give no medical advice here.
So no medical advice. Just make sure you work with your doctor.
So if you do that's right. And then just in general, though, you had recommended mats and starting with a few minutes a day and getting outside. And
I would say minimum half an hour.
We saw
in our research that the physiology start changing for some people after 20 minutes, the other 25, other 30. So do a minimum of 30 minutes. But if you do, like, if you want to cover and make sure that you do enough and not overdo it, I would recommend an hour.
An hour. Okay. And water, is salt water is good too.
Oh, yes. Water. You need plenty of water. Yes, of course.
It's very important. Is that why when we go to the beach, we feel better?
Nutrition. Yes. Yes, actually, one of the thing, I mean, so I want to say that it's not a panacea where you can heal just that. I can drink and do anything I want. I'm grounded. I'm going to be okay. No, you still need to get, you know, good food inside, limit, you know, the toxins and get rest and do exercise. It's just a part, but an essential part of having a healthy lifestyle.
I love it. Okay, anything you want to share on a closing note, and then we'll get you back to the grounding.
Yeah, I think that's sums it up at the end, what I just said. So I don't have anything more to add at the moment.
Super. Well, thank you so much. This has been really, really fun. Yeah,
I'm enjoying doing this. You know, that's why you.
Yeah, I would love to get some feedback or questions from people if they try it, and maybe we do another episode.
Sure, that would be nice.
Amazing. All right, Dr. Chevalier from the Earthing Institute, thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you for having me.
SpondyCast was made possible by donations from the Spondylitis Association of America's individual members and our show's corporate sponsor, AbbVie.
Since our founding in 1983,
The Spondylitis Association of America has been the face, voice, and leading nationwide nonprofit educating, empowering, and advocating for people living with spondyloarthritis. Through our extensive work with patients, the medical community, and partners, we provide information and resources to help people impacted by the disease live better lives and champion research to find a cure.